2FM.
Well, I am delighted to be joined by Olympic cyclist and former national road race champion Nicholas Roach, with thanks to Pinergy, who've committed to Power the Difference for Orwell Wheelers Cycling Club in Dublin as part of a new 3-year sponsorship deal with the club. The partnership will see Pinergy becoming the club's principal sponsor and official energy partner, as well as title sponsors of the Pinergy Orwell Wheelers Randonnée, an annual 146-kilometre open road event which will take place in Dublin on the 30th of April. Nicholas, it has just been, what now, over 6 months, nearly 7 months since you announced your retirement from cycling. Listen, I know you've been keeping busy, but have you had time to just let the retirement sink in and give yourself the breathing space to reflect back on what was a brilliant career?
Not at all, actually, and I've been trying to do the whole opposite of keeping myself really busy to postpone that moment as far as I can. I think, you know, there is a moment where you take a decision and you make a call, and then suddenly you start watching TV and seeing your mates race, and it's like, did I have a year more, or did I make the right choice? But no, I mean, it is 7 months now, and it's been a very, very intense 7 months. I've lived some incredible adventures since I've retired, but I didn't quite sink in quite yet. I still struggle sometimes with the word former cyclist.
Well, I can re-record the intro if you wish. Listen, like, has that been the most difficult part, I suppose, of adjusting? I know you've been keeping busy, and I do want to chat about that and what kind of keep you going, because you're still involved with the sport itself. But is the most difficult part, I suppose, just coming to terms with it?
It is. It's very easy at the end of the season when you're tired, you're run down, and you look back and your body is shattered and full of scars, and saying, all right, that's it. It's my time, and I'm happy with it. And then the kind of warmer day starts coming up, and you see bike racing back on TV, and your mates are giving you a phone call saying, oh, they're racing this race and that race, and you're kind of saying, I kind of miss it as well. But to be honest, I think if you had this phone call with me in 10 years, I will still give you the same answers. When you love what you do so much, there is a moment where my racing career had to come to an end, but my passion for cycling is still there. But yeah, there are days where I'm kind of saying, all right, should I go racing? And, you know, even I when I post, I usually post that I'm still training, and people have asked me, but what are you training for? And it's just, I still miss, you know, the pain in the legs and pushing myself. And I'm not training for any competition. I'm just training for myself to be able to enjoy cycling and to still kind of be fit.
Yeah, that competitive spirit, I suspect just will never go away in you know, athletes that, you know, as that have competed at such high levels as yourself. But listen, you mentioned that you are still involved and you're keeping busy. So you have a director role with Cycling Ireland on the Senior Road Programme. You've consultancy with Trinity Sports Management. Do you feel long term you'll be leaning more towards the management and that side of things, or perhaps might coaching and punditry play a part in this new chapter of your life?
So I think punditry is something that I absolutely love, and I've been doing some races with GCN and Eurosport, and now I'll be doing some more stuff with ASO on the Tour de France, and it's exciting. I do like being close to the race and still getting that buzz, being with the young guys. So I wouldn't think I'll go into coaching just because I never really had the patience. And today, coaching is more about being an IT genius than giving feedback like it was years ago. It's all about analyzing curves and parameters and all that. And I wouldn't think I'd be the best coach. I could help with all the mental side. So I think I would definitely look into management or sports director, a little bit like what I'm doing with Sports Ireland at the moment and with Trinity Sports.
Okay. Well, we're focusing on Sports Ireland then and Cycling Ireland. You mentioned back in January, I think it was, that you were very taken by the ambition and vision for cycling in Ireland and how much you were looking forward to giving back to junior and under 23 riders, which you've mentioned there, of course, and hopefully helping to develop a pipeline of Irish talent. So I suppose overall, what is the state of play at the moment? What is the talent pool like coming through the ranks at the moment?
It's very difficult to source talent. And you know, sometimes you need to have a little bit of pot of luck. But luck, you need to always push your luck. So I feel if you have the right components in place and the right structures in place and clubs, you know, just like Orwell, we were talking about it in your intro, putting things in place, bringing kids to racing, it is helping out to bring new talents. unfortunately, talents just don't pop out of a bag, and you need sometimes years before the next big talent comes out. But if you continuously work, give them support, and help them, take them abroad, which unfortunately is key in Ireland, and that's, you know, it's one of the difficulties, also because it's usually the age of the leaving cert, so you always have to make these sacrifices between studies and training, and it's a fine balance to try and manage both. But hopefully with all these sacrifices, with all these people who are pushing and helping new structures, and Cycling Ireland backing up some of the young projects, with time we'll get more professionals back on track.
Well, just focusing on the structures then, because not too long ago I was actually up in Armagh working on the Cyclocross Championships, which I know is vastly different to the road cycling, but I was interviewing Liam Collins and Matt McCarrow, the new president and CEO respectively of Cycling Ireland, and just their drive and genuine passion really struck me for two new additions to Cycling Ireland. As much as we might have exciting talent coming through on the bike, and as you say, that will take a couple of years to nurture it and develop it, do you feel the right people are in place with the right structures now to grow the sport from an administrative point of view as well?
Well, I certainly hope so. At the moment, for me, it's quite difficult to talk about politics because I've been abroad for so long that I wouldn't know all the background information. But today, I think even for Cycling Ireland to make the step to ask me if I would be interested in coming on board is already a step of motivation and dedication and trying to bring things forward. So just in that shows some kind of determination, because I always thought, you know, when I retired, I thought the first phone call I would get was from Cycling Ireland to say, would you be interested in coming in and helping us at some point or somewhere down the line? And it took 6 months, but it did arrive. And I was happy because I was saying, all right, we've Daniel and myself, we've retired. Hopefully someone will pick up and saying, let's use them and help the next generation come up, or at least make a call and see if they're interested in helping out. So I think when you have that motivation and you're trying to push forward, it's always a very strong commitment and a strong symbol.
Am I right in saying you're based over in Monaco still at the moment?
I'm still based in Monaco, yes. I think, you know, I've been there now, I think, 10 years, but I've been living inside of France for almost 20. And I think by time things settle down and try and see where my next job is going to be, I just needed to keep at least one thing stable, which is where I was living, by time that I try and find myself a little bit, and a bit like we were saying before, in am I going to go in punditry, am I going to go into sports director, where am I going to live? I still have a lot of questions to be asked.
Yeah,
and answered.
I said there's worse places to retire, I tell you, than Monaco and France. That's fallen well,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've only been there 9 days since the 2nd of January, so it looks nice when I see all my friends training on Instagram. But unfortunately, I haven't quite made the. I've been just on the go from one destination to the other, been quite a lot in London, and obviously with Dance with the Stars, I was here almost 3.5 months, which was great to be back here and spend some time with the family and, you know, catch up with things that I haven't been able to do over the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, you mentioned Dance with the Stars. I've only got one question on that now, and it's 17 years and over 1,270 professional race days in cycling. So in comparison, I have to ask, how taxing was the Dancing with the Stars training?
So, it was incredible how I was so drained in the evening. And as the competition got tougher, I just didn't have the energy to go on the bike. I was dancing 5-7 hours on the big days. And in the evening, I was just shattered. Where the first few weeks, I was kind of getting up early, doing an hour on the home trainer or going for 10K runs, trying to kind of do something else than dancing as well. And I realized when I just had to push more, dancing, that I just didn't have the energy to go and do more. That the focus, and obviously for me, who wasn't a gifted dancer, I needed a lot of work and a lot of focus, and I was just shattered in the evening.
Well, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I think you're a very talented dancer, but however, listen, focusing on the cycling, looking ahead, for example, European Championships in August in Germany, UCI Road World Championships coming up in September in Australia. How much are you personally looking forward to these events in your new role, and what should we expect from Cycling Ireland at these events, or is it a bit too early to speculate just yet?
It's obviously very early to speculate, but it's also fair to give an opinion. And I think that, you know, we've seen Eddie growing and progressing, and I was so happy to see him take this first overall win in Italy a couple of weeks ago. And I couldn't believe, actually, that I was the last one to win a stage race back in 2014. I thought Dan might have won something before that, but he won some of the World Tour races, but it was just before that and not after. But it was just, I couldn't believe that it took so long, and I was so pleased that finally Eddie got his deserved win. It's a long way to go and say, oh, Eddie is going to have an amazing World Championship. I certainly hope so. It's a well balanced course for him. It's difficult, but not extremely difficult, with this punchy climb and a kind of easier finish where we all know Eddie has a good sprint. So I can see Eddie performing. Obviously, the level today of some of the riders is just unbelievable. So it is very, you can't be too ambitious in saying, you know, Eddie it can win the world. I think Eddie has a fair chance of doing a big performance, but it is, I don't want to, you know, be too ambitious, but hopefully he will be there and perform to his best. In European Championships, it's a much flatter course. And I sincerely hope that, you know, Sam gets back into shape. Once Sam is on form, he is the fastest man on the planet today. So hopefully, you know, there's still a couple of months to go, and he will be through injury and get all his morale back and show to the world that he still is one of the fastest men on the planet and give a fair shot at the European Championships.
Yeah, no, it's certainly positive. And I suppose it's an upward curve is how I suppose I'd look at it, because, yes, we talk about unearthing new talent as well. But for Sam and for Eddie particularly as well, they're on an upward curve, and long may that continue.
They are. And look at Ryan Mullen really having a strong start of the year. You know, he went to Bora to help out Sam. Sam hasn't been racing that much with Ryan, and he's been, you know, doing a bit of his own thing. Really good in the classics, doing what he was doing, helping out the other sprinter, Danny von Poppel. So it's great to see Ryan also progressing. And I think the arrival of Ben Heaney now as well in the pro ranks, hopefully he will progress the way he's progressing the last 2 years, and we'll see him kind of slowly but surely doing a little bit like Eddie, year by year, kind of growing and stepping into the and being a more established climber.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Nicholas, it's great to see so many names roll off the tongue, and long may that continue. It's great to see the progression of Cycling Ireland, and I wish you very best of luck with the new role, and all the best in the banned word, I suppose, from this interview, which is retirement. But listen, I'm sure we'll be catching up sooner rather than later, as I say, with the Europeans and the Worlds just coming up in a few months' time. But Nicholas Roche, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Game on 2FM.